Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Robin and all that he has prepared this morning. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless him as he blesses us. Open our hearts and our ears to hear what you'd have him say today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you to the worship team, and thank you to you all for the opportunity to be back and sharing with you. It's like old times to be here at Norton Summit, and it's been a little while, and it's just good to be here. I've been back a couple of times over the last 6 months. We've used the facilities here for two sort of semi-silent days, prayer days. And everyone, we had one for all the staff from Hills Baptist and also from Mount Barker Baptist, and all the folk that came here just loved being here in terms of just being a place to gather and just the beauty of being able to just come and pray and spend time seeking God here at this place. So, and they also loved the playground, not that they used it, but they were amazed when they walked out and saw the kids' playground out the back, and just saw just how your heart is for people and for families and for people of all ages. It's be good to go to the 4D discipleship day coming up. I'm unable to be there because I'm preparing to go to prison. But before you misinterpret that statement, there was a few people here who used to be involved with Kairos, and I've got involved with Kairos, and they have training days, and they have to prepare you well to go into prison. So I'll be at a training day, but it'll certainly be a great opportunity for those who can make it to hear and to interact with folk who are able to be there on that day. As I come to share with you, I'm looking this morning at the topic of living in resurrection power. And and as I come to share about that, the thing that that I want to share as I start is that probably 2 or 3 months ago, it was probably 6 months ago, we were having dinner with some friends at Nan, and at the Honey Bang Bang Asian restaurant. I think it's Asian. It's lovely food. I'm not good with meals. Rebecca is such a good cook that I feel like I eat out every night when we have dinner. So it's pretty amazing. But we were there having lunch with a couple of having dinner with a couple of friends, and I was saying at the time, it must be over 12 months ago, I said, I'm looking at getting a smartwatch because I just want to track how many steps I'm doing every day and just have a general awareness of what I'm doing that may engage in the level of fitness that I don't have. And it was Marilyn Kruger. She burst out laughing and said, Robin, you've got an iPhone, haven't you? Don't you realise that your phone already is tracking? And she said, give me your phone. So I handed her my phone and she just clicked on a couple of things, and there it was. It had been keeping track of all my steps. I didn't need to buy another gadget to keep track of my fitness. And it was one of those moments where I realise, and I've known this to some degree, just how much more phones can do over and above what we think they can do. And then I went home and I saw an article, 21 Hidden Smartphone Superpowers. Now, I do know people who just use their phone to make phone calls. When I read through the list, GPS, camera, swipe, Visa card, emails, text, medical information, emergency contacts, emergency location, lock and erase your phone if you lose your phone, minimise eye fatigue at certain times, there's all these things that goes on, help you get better sleep, child safety or an ageing parent and location monitoring. My kids might like me to engage that, or Rebecca if I start wandering off. But there's all these things that your phone can do. Features to simplify access to information on web searches, and the list goes on and on. All these things that can be done with your phone that often people aren't aware of, even if you're aware of some of them. And then, you know, there's thousands of apps. You can just put them on your phone and there's no end of things that your phone can do for you. The resurrection is something where we just don't realise how much it means for us. So often we think that, and we just have the single paradigm of Jesus was resurrected, I'll be resurrected when Christ comes again, and we live with that hope, and it's an important, very important, fundamental thing, just like phones, making phone calls is very important and very fundamental to why you have a phone. And the same with the resurrection, there's so much more that would be life-changing for us to be aware of what the resurrection means for us. So often we've downgraded the resurrection to a private spirituality, just me and God and what's going to happen when I die. But there's so much more that the resurrection speaks to us about. Paul expressed a longing and a desire to know the power of the resurrection. And what we desire shapes everything we do. I've done a 4-year course table on spiritual direction, and one of the key things you help people to get in touch with is what in the very heart of hearts before God do you desire? What are your desires that are shaping what you do? And Paul said in Philippians 3, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, talking about in his daily life and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And knowing the power of the resurrection is the same as knowing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Romans 6 it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. The Holy Spirit within you is resurrection power within you today, not just for the future, but moment by moment. And living in resurrection power, I'm just going to touch on, there are many things that we could look at this morning, but I'm just going to touch on a few this morning, or five things that resurrection power means for us. And the first is the one that is fundamental, like your phone, making phone calls. The resurrection means that we live with hope. We know that we will be resurrected in the future. In 1 Thessalonians it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not be grieved like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Living with hope is so important in this life as we face the challenges that come our way. I remember as a primary age student at Keith Area School down in the southeast, it was the era when the French had just tested their first atomic bomb in the South Pacific. And I remember the schoolyard chatter became more and more fearful as they picked up on the fact that a nuclear cloud could easily, if the winds went the wrong direction, drift over Australia. I still remember the conversations were in the schoolyard. But I had Christian parents who had talked about the hope we have in Christ, and just that bigger picture beyond the realities of life, and even though the fears were inflated at the time, I remember that as a child I had a sense of peace, even though there were these things being talked about that could be quite dramatic. I mean, they were being blown out of proportion as schoolyard chatter got around. But the hope of the resurrection, the hope of knowing I belong to God, helped me have calmness and peace even as a child, at a primary age child. And as adults, hope is so important as we face our daily living. Life can so easily get on top of us, but knowing that we are living with a hope beyond the day to day gives us strength and power in the face of whatever comes our way. Things that are kept in perspective in the light of eternity. And that hope we have as adults empowers us for daily living, to know we are the children of God who have a future with him. So that's the first and primary Living in the power of the resurrection means that we live with hope in the day-to-day challenges of life. But it also means we live in a dynamic relationship with God. It's not unusual for relationships to get boring and routine from time to time. It can happen in marriages and friendships where the relationship can seem as though it's not going anywhere, and you can wonder where the spark and life in the relationship can be restored. And the same can happen in our relationship with God. It can become routine. We feel like we know what God's word says. We feel like we have answers to many of the questions that people might ask us. And we know we have a hope and an eternal hope. I'll be crass and say we might have our ticket to heaven and we're just living each day. But faith becomes more and more on the sidelines as we just become bored with the reality of that we are the children of God. But when, as in a marriage, if things become a little routine and stale, then the important thing is not to walk away, but to seek to do and find things that will revitalize the relationship. And it's the same in our relationship with God. Some young people walk away from faith because they're asking bigger questions than what happens when I die. They're asking questions, how do I live out my faith in the day-to-day, in this world with all its challenges and all the different issues that we face in our world? And they're looking for their faith to be relevant to those things. And if they don't sense, as children of God, finding in God's word and in their relationship with God answers to those questions, they often walk away and engage with other organisations who are addressing the issues and the questions they're asking. But if our relationship with God has become stale, then it's so important to trade duty-bound ritual for a dynamic relationship with the living Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he walked and talked along the road to Emmaus, and the disciples were despondent and wondering what the future held after Jesus had been crucified. And Jesus came alongside them, and he didn't even make himself known to them initially, but he provoked them with questions, and he pointed them to scriptures, and they didn't realize who he was, but he stirred up something. They were drawn to him because of the personal interaction that he was having with them. And finally, as you know the story, he revealed himself in the breaking of the bread as he went and ate a meal with them. But the living God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, indwells each of our hearts and wants to commune with us on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, where we sense what God is saying, test it against his word, but we wrestle with the big questions of life, how we respond to the challenges of the world, how we respond to the daily challenges in our lives. And God, by his Holy Spirit, wants to commune with us and for us to sense that God is speaking to us and then acting on what we believe God is saying, and having a dynamic, at times stepping out into things that others wonder what you're doing, but you know you're doing what God has put on your heart. And that living, dynamic relationship is something that is, if you like, resurrection power at work, the living Christ by the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, bringing life and vitality to our daily relationship with God. In Romans 8, it says, "You do not have a spirit that makes you fearful. Instead, you receive God's Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, when he adopted you as his own children. Now we say, Abba Father, or Dear Father, for his Spirit joins our spirit. His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." There's that intimacy of communion that God brings by the power of the Spirit, resurrection power at work, the risen Christ communing with us on a day-to-day basis. And living in resurrection power means living with power to endure suffering. So often the focus of resurrection power at work in our lives in some streams of the church can be to only remove suffering. And praise God that miracles do happen, but often the realities of life that we are called to keep the faith in the face of extreme suffering. Maybe sickness, it may be emotional trauma, it may be lack of finance or work situations, it may be you're being ridiculed for your faith, it may be betrayal in marriage, betrayal by a friend, loneliness, the list could go on and on. And the things that we face, we might be asking the questions. There's been a few times in my life where I've asked the question, where are you, God? What are you doing? And I want to say to you this morning, it's only the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit at work deep in the very depth of our being that keeps people from walking away from faith in those challenging times. Paul knew the power of the resurrection, enabling him to be content in all circumstances. In Philippians 4, he said, "I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." And then he says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." The power of the living Christ, the resurrected Christ within us, empowers us to face the challenges of life, and not necessarily will they always be taken away from us. But God gives us the strength to face whatever life throws our way. Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, "I want to know Christ," the verse that I started with, "and the power of his resurrection." And then he goes on to say, "and participation in his sufferings." The Spirit of God empowers us to face the challenges and suffering that life might bring our way. The World Watch List reported that Christians are the most persecuted people in the world. And they summarise of 13 Christians worldwide are killed because of their faith every day. Every day 12 churches are attacked. Every day 12 Christians are unjustly arrested and imprisoned, and another 5 are abducted. And the CEO of Open Doors said, "You might think the list is about oppression," but he made the comment, "but the list is really about resilience." Because faith continues to grow in those countries where those things are happening. People do not, if they survive what's happening, very few deny their faith. The power of the resurrection, the power of the living presence of God within them enables them to remain faithful to God no matter what is happening to them. And the same is for us. Resurrection power can help us endure life's challenges, however small or great they may be, and the Spirit of God empowers us for daily living to have the power to endure even the suffering that may come our way. Fourthly, the power of the resurrection, living in resurrection power, transforms our lives. In Romans 6, 5 and 7, it says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that the old self," and then it goes on to talk about what's happening in our hearts and lives, "for we know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." We've risen again, you know, the symbol of baptism. We die to self, rise in the power of God to live a transformed life. And the power of God transforms our hearts so that what's in our hearts, which shapes our actions, is changed. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36. God promised, speaking of the Holy Spirit, "I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Obedience isn't something you have to find the strength to do by your own willpower. Obedience comes as we rest in the grace of God and know the Spirit's presence, and we will find growing in our hearts a desire to do the things that honour and please God. One is a guilt trip, the other is the power of God at work, transforming our lives by his Spirit that takes a heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. And so resurrection power will go on transforming your life. And fifthly, the resurrection power empowers us for kingdom living. Jesus made some pretty impossible demands. He said, imagine the Christians in Ukraine. Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those who persecute you. Or people in any situation, you might think in your life there's people that have wronged you so terribly in some way, or people you might consider an enemy. Jesus says to you this morning to love them, to pray for them, to bless those who curse you. And then he says things like, Don't just forgive once or twice or seven times. Forgive people 70 times sevens. And sometimes when people keep doing the same thing over and over again, we lose patience and we think, why do I need to keep forgiving? Jesus said, go on forgiving that person. Doesn't mean you don't confront the wrong, doesn't mean you don't challenge evil, but it means you go on having forgiveness in your heart. Impossible without the power of God. A command that rolls so easily off our lips. Love your neighbour in the same way as you love yourself. Think about it for a moment. The things you would do for yourself, Jesus says, do that for your neighbour. And he told a parable that showed that your neighbour is any person in need. It's not just the person over the colour-bond fence or over no fence that lives next to you. It's anybody in need is your neighbour. And we are commanded to do for them the very things we would do for ourselves. It blows your mind. Blows my mind. I'm incredibly challenged by that. And I want to say that these things that are impossible with our own desires are only able to be done by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit as we rest in God's grace, know we are God's beloved children, and allow His Spirit to stir and change our hearts so that we begin to live out these kingdom things that will show the world that Jesus is alive in us. We can preach Christ crucified, but if our lives aren't transformed by the kingdom of God and we do the things that the world sits up and thinks, well, who are these people that are doing these kind of things that no one would normally do? Then people begin to ask questions and are drawn to faith. But also, those kingdom challenges are not just for us as individuals. God wants to transform whole communities. When resurrection breaks, power breaks in, God's kingdom breaks into a whole community. You may have heard of the Azusa Revival in the early 19th century, where people were worshipping. It was back in the days, and there's still some challenges in this area where America was highly racist in the way you had black churches and white churches, and Negroes weren't allowed to go in places where white people could go, and it was all the church had embraced this culture, which was an evil thing in the eyes of God. And when people focused on worshipping God and acknowledging Christ as Saviour, no, acknowledging Christ as the Son of God, revival broke out where people began as the Spirit moved amongst them in powerful ways. The poor were being fed. Blacks and whites began to worship together. Multiracial gatherings and congregations spread from the revival. And women and men were both in leadership in the church. And then as the revival went on, some people who were part of the revival held on to the evil racist attitudes, and then one group became what is one of the biggest Negro or African American denominations. The Assemblies of God grew out of that. They no longer have the attitudes that I'm talking about. But one pastor took off all the Negro people, and they became one denomination, and then those others who worshipped together became another denomination, and God used that evil to grow another whole denomination and of churches. But on the day of Pentecost, the same thing was happening. People from many tribes and nations were gathered in Jerusalem. They all worshipped the same God. They were indwelt by the same Spirit. People of all backgrounds were hearing the Word of God and were worshipping together. And some even sold possessions to help those in need. The gospel was preached powerfully. Miracles were happening amongst them as they obeyed and responded and worshipped and listened to what the Spirit of God was doing. In the resurrection, a new power has been unleashed in the world that no man, no woman, no president, no nation, no church, no community can stop. The power of God has been unleashed in the world. The God of justice and mercy and compassion will move throughout the world, and evil will be challenged as God's people and others who embrace the truth of what God is saying begin to express His kingdom values in the world. There's one word that sums up what God is doing in communities and wants to do in nations and between nations, and it's the word shalom. It sums up all the things that God wants for His people. Wholeness, peace, harmony, completeness. This is what the word shalom in the Hebrew embraces, welfare and justice for all, that everybody is treated equally and there is tranquility and abundant provision. In creation, when God said, as he created in the Garden of Eden, and he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, behold, in the English we just read, behold, it was very good. But the Hebrew has an idea that behold, it is an absolute abundance of provision that is beyond any measure that is provided for Adam and Eve in the garden in terms of creation and the beauty of creation and all of God's provision for their daily needs. And finally, with these realities in our mind, knowing the resurrection power means we can live expectant lives. In Ephesians 3, it says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. God promises by the power of the Holy Spirit, by his transforming work, by us living in obedience to him, that he will do things way above anything we could imagine. And so we can live expectant lives, knowing God's Spirit indwells us. We are his loved children. He is saying things to us individually. He's saying things to us as church communities. And as we keep in step with his Spirit and don't quench what the Spirit is saying, he will do things way above anything we could ask or imagine. Just as the resurrection was impossible for anyone but the living God who created us, the same power behind the resurrection will take you into situations that are impossible apart from the power of God at work in your life or in the life of the church. We can live expectantly that God will do things that we've never dreamed of and expect him to be at work. It'll be challenging, it'll stretch your faith as you ask his resurrection power to be at work in your life and the church. But as you trust God, you'll experience greater adventures than you can ever imagine. I challenge you as I finish. Live with hope. You're going to be resurrected whether you like it or not. So live with hope. Live in intimate communion with God. Don't settle for the mundane. Endure suffering by God's power, knowing you are a loved, beloved child of God. Know that reality. In any trying circumstance, one of the most powerful things we need to know is that someone loves us, that we are precious to someone. Be transformed by God's power in your life. Let God's kingdom values shape all you do and say as an individual and as a church community. And live with expectation of new things God wants to do in your life and in the church and in the world. I'd like to close by praying the scripture in Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, just to lead us in a prayer as I finish. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for the faith in the Lord Jesus that is present in our community and of the love for all God's people that you have put in our hearts. We thank you for each other and pray for each other this morning. God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, we call out to you on behalf of your people. Give us minds ready to receive wisdom and revelation so we will truly know you. Open the eyes of our hearts and let the light of your truth flood in. Shine your light on the hope you are calling us to embrace. Reveal to us the glorious riches you are preparing for as our inheritance. Let us see the full extent of your power that is at work in those who believe, and may it be done according to your might and power in each of our lives. We pray that the same might and resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead and positioned him at your right hand in heaven will be at work in our hearts and minds. Thank you that you are above all rule and authority and power and dominion in the world. And thank you are over every name that is put forward in our nation, that you are over every title and recognition that is given in this age and the next. Thank you, Father, that you have placed all things beneath the feet of Christ and anointed him as the head over all things for your church. Thank you that your church is the body of Christ in which the fullness of the Godhead dwells and fills us all with your presence by your Spirit who indwells us. May we live in resurrection power. May your name be glorified. May people find hope in you through our witness. May our lives be transformed from one degree of glory to another as your resurrection power is manifest in us and through us. And all God's people said, Amen.